We are back. We are back. Big Vern. This is the Drive Time Radio Show on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre Hudson Catskill. I am Big Vern. With me right now, and this lady needs no introduction, but, you know, I'm going to give her one. I'm going to try to do my best. Linda, do a mic check for me so I can just make sure you're loud enough.
Check, check.
Okay, yeah, right there. We have Linda Musman. She did win the primary. You won the primary for the Democrat and the Independent?
Yes.
Am I right?
That's right.
I'm getting good at this,
yeah,
Linda. Hold on.
Right.
I'm going to give myself a clap. No. I'm going to run away from office. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give myself a clap. That was good.
All right.
And then I want to give you a clap for one, for being here with us. I know it was short notice, and Lynn made the call, and for you accepting to be here with us. And two, for taking the backside of the interview to come in on the late side. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. I'm sure the listeners do, because I'm sure there's a lot of people listening, because people were telling me we're going to be listening to the show. So thank you for accepting our invitation to come on.
Thanks for the offer. I really appreciate your program and this radio station.
Yep. Hold on one
Great
second.
Work.
Hold on. Don't talk to the clap. It's like fine wine. So, Linda, before we get started, I want to talk about something to do with the radio and stuff like that. When we first started on the radio, we had a show called Barbershop Talks. And our show would come on right before the show that TSL had. You guys have a show that comes on at 3 o'clock, right?
We did.
Yeah, yes. You did. Yeah, and that's in the beginning. It used to come on. So, and me and you have been in the same room. I'm not going to say 100, but a good 44 times.
We've been there. Yes.
We've been there, and we've done some things together. So it is an honor to be able to sit down and talk with you. My first question, after I say congratulations, is to say, why now? Like, why throw your name back into the hat now?
Well, it's a good question.
I think the
temperature of the planet is equal to the temperature of the political landscape. It's getting hotter. We have very little time, and we need to get involved and change things. I've been here a long time. I watched the Board of Supervisors being dominated by the Republicans. It's been going on for 20-some-5-X years, and it's I don't understand why it doesn't change, and that is a place which would make a difference. And the landscape of Hudson, as you watch it, we are losing ground very fast. Mm-hmm. We have our housing stock is diminishing quickly. Airbnbs are taking over. We have a lot of money and wealth coming into our community, and we have hardly anybody or anything stopping it. And I think if we want to see our communities build and survive, we all have to be involved. And I think I want to take time out of my life to contribute to changing the landscape and making a difference.
I want to explain to you how I want to conduct this interview. As I told Billy, what I want to do is I want to ask you a couple questions, and we'll have you answer them in a time frame. And then the last 7 minutes, if you need more, I'll give it to you. You can just go uninterrupted and to be able to talk to the people and let them know exactly, you know, what to do when it's November and voting time. Okay.
All right.
Because I did put together a few questions. So one of the questions I want to ask you, and another thing is, I'm going to be fair. That's it. And I was fair to Billy. I'm going to be fair to you. And one of the questions I want to ask you is that in the community, there's a sense of, if you were to win, you would take out a minority and the minority voice that they would have on a county level. How would you be able to fit in and fill that seat to be able to, you know, to speak and to act and to represent that minority that would be lacking, that now that if you win, that means Billy would not be in anymore and you would have that seat?
Well, there's a lot of diversity in the 4th Ward, for example. There's a Bangladesh community, there's a black community, there's a Hispanic community, there's a gay community, there's a lot of communities that sometimes I think are left out of the picture. Mm-hmm. As a woman, as a gay woman, I think I can understand some of the plight of the minority because I am one. Qualifications, I'm not sure if identity politics is the answer anymore. I think we need people that are capable of speaking for and about issues that concern everyone. I mean, I've been very involved with helping people in court. I've spoken out against the pipeline to prison, children going into the PINS petitions from the school. I've spoken out about the bail issue and who sits in jail and for what reason, and I've helped start the Columbia County Bail Fund, which has yet to be released in the public domain, but it exists, and it is going to be very active of helping people who sit in jail for small infractions, for example. I think Hudson has a long history of people being left out, cut out, and I think I can represent that voice very well and have a history of doing that already.
I want to piggyback, because that was one of my questions that I did have for you. I did a little research, and I want to piggyback off of that. And have you continued talking about the work that you've done with the criminal justice system and also social services?
Well, the Columbia County Bail Fund has been a project we've been putting together in the last year. There's some technical things that we're putting together to make it totally official. I have bailed people out of jail in the past, privately as a citizen. I have worked with DSS to keep it in Hudson. That was a long battle. Over time, we've succeeded. I worked with a lot of people to make that happen, to keep it from moving out of Hudson to Claverick, where people would have to be bused a certain amount of time and energy spent on a bus going back and forth. And we all have to remember that it's mostly women and children who are bearing the brunt of that inconvenience of traveling, going back and forth to DSS. Having it in Hudson was certainly very important. I've sent a lot of kids to camp. We've done a lot of children's work at TSL over a long period of time. It was one of the first things we did when we came to Hudson over 25 years ago, and have been an advocate for getting more opportunities for children and helping them succeed and have access, which I think is the most important thing, getting access. Mm-hmm. Having help, getting on the coattails of all the energy here in Hudson, and there's a lot, but having an opportunity to reach out to the people who have the potential to change lives, I think, is key to the success of this community.
How do you feel about the new blood in Hudson politics right now, with, you know, after the primary? And I mean, would you consider you, I think I would consider you new blood. And the reason why I say that, let me explain. The reason why, I was at the Ellens, and to watch you walk in there, it was just like the best thing possible. And it, just to see the way you walked in, and just to watch everybody just look and like, oh, there's Linda. So how do you feel about the new blood that's now going to be a part of Hudson politics?
Well, I think it's very exciting, and I think one of the great opportunities is the fact that the boundaries finally got fixed and we all have equal representation instead of sitting there with a calculator trying to figure out who won the vote. I want to thank Steve Dunn and all the people that worked on making the boundary changes possible, and I think that opened up a lot of opportunities for people to define who was going to run where and for what reasons. It changed the nature of Hudson. It was a great change, and it was one of the reasons that I decided to run. It was a new day, new leadership, new boundaries, and that was really where I thought it was not the same old boundaries that Bill Hughes had in the past, and it was a fair and open battle that could be made, and an opportunity to go door to door and pitch what I wanted to do.
A lot of people have said, and I even actually heard someone say this, I won't tell you who, but that you have no idea what the job's entitled, and that you just don't get it. How would you respond to something like that? And like I said, I'm being fair, but I have to ask you these hard questions. And then I know for you they're not hard, but I want to know, because I was quite shocked when I heard the person say it.
Well, you know, the reality is that the Board of Supervisors is run by the Republicans. I continue to watch the fact that Hudson never seems to get its fair share. And I think the job that I propose to take on is to get Hudson its fair share. We have a tax base that I believe we pay a lot of sales tax to the county, and I don't think we get our fair share. We bear the burden of the truck route, and our infrastructure suffers from that. We are the energy. So many people say, oh, Hudson's doing so well, and we're so exciting, and we're such an exciting place. And yet, the support for Hudson seems to always diminish, and we become the backseat. I think the fact that the fair representation and the employment on the county is certainly underrepresented when you look at the who lives in the county. And I think that's a reality and needs to be challenged. I think there's a lot of issues that I can challenge as on the board, and I believe I can do a good job, in fact, perhaps a better job than my opponent. I have, going out to campaign, I really have a, many people didn't understand what the fourth ward supervisor was or did. And I think it gives, you know, it speaks to the power of the fact that you need to reach out to the people. You need to be here and be available to the people to hear their concerns. And the fourth ward, believe me, I think is one ward that sort of gets the short end of things all the time. We do a lot for the city, and we bear a lot of the burden. And I think the trucks are, again, you know, I live in it, I work with it, I watch the trucks roll past people that walk in our community and live here, and it's a rough road.
Is there anything that could be done about the truck route? I mean, isn't that a state issue, and it's going to be a state truck route? I mean, me working at Ginsburg's,
it is.
I totally understand. I know a little bit about that, so isn't it something that's, it's going to be there no matter what, unless you take it to the state level?
I think, I also think there's never, you can never say no, it can't happen. I do. True. In fact, I did write to Ginsburg's and I asked them, hey, could you take another route? Mr. Ginsburg said no, it was going to cost him too much money.
Well, I don't want to talk about Ginsburg's. I mean,
well,
I'm just saying,
yeah. I did make an effort. Yeah. I think there's an opportunity to reach individual truckers, of people mm-hmm. that come through here. I do think it's an opportunity. ADM comes through here. It's a neighbor. It's a potential to perhaps take some trucks off. And we're in, you know, and there's a huge battle with Colarusso mm-hmm. going on right now. I don't deny them their industry. They're certainly a major contributor to our community, and I support that contribution here. I think getting these trucks, at least the gravel trucks, off of the streets would be an advantage to the city.
Correct.
Definitely. Yep. DOT and an alternative route is something that I have talked to people about, and I think it's worth a discussion. Will I see it in my lifetime? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is problem stunning. I definitely agree with that. But I always thought because it was on a state level. But I love your approach. I love your approach, and you never say
hey,
never.
Yeah, try. Gotta try.
If you don't try, you never know. There's one thing that I want to ask you, and you were actually sitting in the other room when the statement was made. And I don't know if you heard it.
I don't think I heard it.
Okay. One of the things, and listen, I'm not doing this for a back and forth or anything like that, but Billy Hughes was speaking about the journey with Promise Neighborhood and how he went out and he went to all these different businesses to be able to get them on board, and he got Operation Unite and everything like that. But he said the one business that he couldn't get on board was TSL. And I just want to give you an opportunity, you know, to give a response to that. Like, maybe you had a reason why, or maybe you just said, or you don't have a reason why, but.
Well, I must admit, I don't remember Mr. Hughes ever coming to me and talking to me about Promise Neighborhoods. That's Joni Hunt's doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I don't, in terms of him being at my doorstep begging me or asking me to get involved, that never happened as far as I recall. I think Promise Neighborhoods, what Joan Hunt is doing is fantastic. AmeriCorps added to the project is a boon to the community and an advantage to the kids. I mean, Mr. Hughes rarely, if ever, comes to TSL for anything, so I can't imagine that ever happened, but, you know.
All right. One
word against another.
Yeah, no. I just wanted to, that's the only thing I had said to him that you guys probably had the most vocal race there was in this primary. I mean, the Steve Dunn and Tom race was, you know, close, but when it started out, but you guys really had the race that really, you know, drew a lot of attention to it. So that's why I just really wanted to ask you that.
You know, I went door to door and I talked to people. That's what I did. Mm-hmm. And I had no interviews. I had very few signs. I simply went door to door and made my case to the people of the Fourth Ward. I have had very little interaction with Mr. Hughes. He's my neighbor. Beyond that, I see him occasionally on the street, but I don't have, it hasn't been a big competition back and forth with him.
Okay.
It's really been, I knocked on the doors, I asked for people's vote, and I won. And I'm very happy to have that support. And it was not an easy thing to do because people, there's a lot of new people, there's a lot of new energy, and believe me, there's a lot of new divisions in the community. As always, yes, nothing yes. else is new in Hudson.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this place should be, written about in the history books of what happens in such a small place. And the excitement and the thrill of competition seems to fire up, especially when I get involved. Seems to bring even more interest than usual.
I had spoke with Mr. Hughes about employment on the county level, and he said there's about 1,100 jobs on the county level, and there might be, I'll round it off, around 20 or more or less minorities working on the county level. Is there anything that you could do or would do to try to... I'm sure you can't even that number out, 1,100 to 20, but is there anything that you would do to maybe get more people or minority people on the county level where they can have careers and to begin to start to show their kids and their kids' kids that this could happen?
Well, and you know, the lack of participation and inclusion, I think, is a shame. And the county needs to be... to reflect who lives here. Same as the school. It goes on. I mean, I've been arguing and commenting about this as long as I've been here. The reality is, if I get on that committee, and these are all about committees, that's one way I could perhaps advocate for that change. Whether I'm on that committee or not, I will advocate for those changes. But I think we have to figure out opportunities that can help people get into those positions, either a civil service test, making sure people get them and have access to them, or help them understand when those deadlines are and get people involved. And it is, look, it is a small community and people know people. So how do we get that opportunity to get people? The job is something that needs to be addressed on the county level, because it's an opportunity for people to make a change.
What is your greatest asset that you'll be able to share with the people of the Fourth Ward and the county level that you can offer to the people?
You know something, Claudia and I came here in 1990-91. We bought a building on Columbia Street. No one thought it was a great idea. They thought we were crazy. They thought we were in a dangerous, horrible city in a neighborhood that was dangerous, and it all went on and on. Claudia and I saw that Hudson had many opportunities to offer, not just us, but many people that have been overlooked. TSL, I think, is an example of what we did here and what we continue to do. We not only became a cultural space, but we became a place that opened our arms and our hearts to the community and shared what resources we have. And that, I think, is, you know, the bottom line is Linda Mussman is about sharing and caring and engaging and including. And that, my whole life has been spent doing that. Claudia and I got married here. We were the first people, the same-sex marriage, when the governor allowed us to get married, we opened our doors. We invited everybody to our wedding. And it's the idea of having people share our resources and our good fortune is part of the nature of who Linda Mussman is. You know, there's a lot of things that I think Hudson could be and could engage the citizens of Hudson if people actually kept knocking on the doors, kept asking, kept including. You know, as this $10 million grant, you know, frankly, I don't think it's going to do that much for the average person that lives in Hudson. that perhaps has been cut out consistently. Hudson's doing well in many cases, but the people who are on the fringes are not doing so well. So how do we get that case made over and over and over? Because then we're really surviving the love of a community that everybody says they are not surviving, but we're challenging the fact that everybody loves Hudson so much, yet there's this disconnect between how can people get involved? How can people help the people that have been left out or pushed out or knocked out or put down or and so on and so on? I mean, we have a housing shortage. We have a working, you know, people have a rough time getting a job here. They have a rough time getting health care. They have a rough time with education and getting through school. How do we help this? And there are a lot of people helping, but there's a lot of wealth here. And there's a lot of ways to focus that wealth and generate this kind of caring that we need to focus people in the right direction.
You mentioned disconnect. Would you like to speak on the disconnect between the community and the police department? And do you have any suggestions on how they could better the relationship? And also, if I could piggyback that, when people that don't live in Hudson think of Hudson, they think of Warren Street. I'm just going to guess and say Warren Street. You yourself, you know that Hudson is a lot bigger than more than just Warren Street. Can you talk about the disconnect between Warren Street and then your other streets like State and Columbia or, you know, and what you think could be done or a better way for us to be able to come as one community?
Well, I think the disconnect between the main street and the other Hudson is always a chronic problem here. I mean, there's the division of the truck route, and it is the difference between the north side and the south side, has always been blaringly obvious. I mean, I try to walk home at night, and I can't see. There's very little light on State Street, for example.
Yeah.
there's very few trees. There's very few garbage cans. There's no place to put a letter in a mailbox. I mean, you know, we've been pretty much assigned no services. And then also the police, it's the same thing. The Warren Street becomes the main artery for, you know, most of the attention unless there's a problem. I'm advocating police get out of their cars. It seems impossible. It seems getting out of the car is the most fearful thing that can happen to the police in our city. I was at the police meeting the other night. Everybody needs more money, more money, more money, more money. Well, money I don't think is the solution. Maybe it's a part of the solution, but we have a police department that has a huge portion of our budget. It's way over a third of our budget.
Wow.
It's a lot of money that we spend on the police force. It's about the community and getting and investing in the community. The police, many don't live here. Many are not from here. I mean, it becomes this sort of perpetual, like, fantasy of what they think crime is about or criminals or people other and how other people act and how, you know, how we must. I mean, people arriving in, you know, all this military gear,
yeah,
is, I don't think it's called for. And this is a long argument, and this is why some of the people in cities are being murdered by accident or by fear of the black kid who has a hood. And I think the fear factor drives these perpetual horrible crimes acted upon a particular group of people, and it's, you know, beyond... I mean, we're in a bad spot right now in America, worse than ever. You know, people are losing their voting rights. People are losing their civil rights. And this is why, you know, to get involved right now, to run against this horrible machine. We are watching Trump TV. We are living it. We have John Faso to beat. We have to get out and register as many people as possible. We can't be lounging around because the clock is ticking.
Correct.
2018 is a key election. 2020 is even bigger because the census is taken that year, and the gerrymandering goes on, and we become gerrymandered out of our of our communities so that we can't possibly win because it's fixed. So the fix is in. And to fight the fix of how these political games are being played requires all of us to stand up and get involved. And that is, I mean, bottom line, that's why I'm running. I am tired of the business as usual in Hudson, New York, and in the county. And I think there's a lot of reasons to fight these chronic, same old things. And it's not about, you know, filling out endless grant applications or these tired yada, yada, yadas. We really need to speak out as a community and say what we want and what we need and organize.
Linda, hold on for 1 second. I got to give you a clap because you just went and you, I don't even know if you realize how many gems you just dropped right there. And if you don't know what a gem is, somebody will tell you. But that was an enlightenment right there. I did not mean to cut you off, but I'm just saying you just said so much, and it was beautiful.
Thank you.
I liked 100% of it. I want to. It's about 5:44, so I want to talk to you about the benches and the things that you do with the kids and stuff like that. Kind of give us a little overhaul of that and how important it is to you and how important it is also to the kids.
You know, we did a lot of, I've done a lot of things with the kids. Claudia and I, again, when we first came to Hudson, there were very little extracurricular activities for the kids. Was one of the first things we did. We've continued to do it, sending kids to camp, change people's lives. We have done house building, bench building. I've helped different organizations. SBK was part of one of the organizations we helped get some energy, and part of the bench project was one summer spent with those kids. I worked with the college and the summer programs where we hire kids. Kids are hired, paid by the state to work at places like TSL and building a bench. We placed the benches at the train station. Part of it was the idea of having ownership in the public. There's very little opportunities for people to see their fruits of their labor. So the bench was really part of that idea that we would show the kids' work would be something that engaged the community and they could see it. And we still do it. I work with older kids now. It depends on the finances. Times are hard, believe me. Nonprofits suffer the squeeze as everybody else. So we're doing different things at different times. We have a lot of energy spent. I've been doing a lot of things. Again, the bail fund project has been taking a lot of time, and it's a very important project because getting people out of jail for minor misdemeanors, letting them appear in court to answer those charges is important. They lose their jobs. They lose their families. It's an opportunity to make to help people defend themselves in a very simple and meaningful way. And many of these things are for $200 or $400. They're changes people's lives. And those are things that we can help make happen.
So I want to give you this time right now to just speak and let the voters know about you and what you want them to know and why they should go to the polls in November. And the floor is yours.
Wow. Well, maybe we should just keep talking.
Okay.
You know, I won the Democratic primary. I won the Independence primary. And I've been endorsed by the Working Families Party, which is a very good honor. And I also carried the bottom line petition. It was a chance to go door to door again to meet as many people as possible. All those endorsements were hard fought. We won two of them in the ballot room, and the Working Families, I was endorsed from the Albany branch. The opportunity to run as a supervisor in the 4th Ward, I think, is at this time, at this place, the boundary changed. It is a bigger community to reach out to. It's one of the most diverse communities in the city of Hudson. And I think it has the most in many ways, the Fourth Ward has been one of the most neglected wards. And I think having the opportunity to speak for the Fourth Ward on the county level will make a big difference, not just for the Fourth Ward, but for the progressive point of view, which I carry all the way into this political environment. I have been the head of the Democrats. I have run for mayor. I have done a lot of things in the city of Hudson to energize and to include people in the political arena. I helped Kirsten Gillibrand when we were running the Democratic Party. No one thought she could win, and we really worked hard to make that happen. And Kirsten Gillibrand, I believe, is going to be the president someday. And that was someone that was that came out of this community, that spoke to this community and was supported here. I think there's a lot of ways people can piggyback off of the enthusiasm of a progressive candidate who actually speaks to the people who live here on a daily basis. And I think hearing their concerns and being there for their concerns and delivering those concerns, not just to the county, but wherever those concerns need to be delivered, is part of what I'm really pretty good at. I'm a tireless campaigner. I'm a tireless advocate for people's concerns. And I think this opportunity to represent the Fourth Ward is something I'm very excited about and honored to be on all those endorsements. So wish me luck, November 7th.
Yeah.
Get out, 6 to 9, and we are registering people. We're getting everybody excited and want to have a huge victory.
That's 6 a.m. tonight.
6 in the morning.
Yeah,
yeah, 6 a.m.
You got to
get up at dawn.
Linda, it's been great talking to you. I also want to extend my hand to you to know that you guys can come back before the election if you want to come back and just sit down and we talk and everything like that. I like this interview, and it was a little bit easier than I thought it would be. I got to be honest. You have a lot to offer, and the people of the Fourth Ward, they got a choice to make. But thank you. Do you have anything else? Because I want to go to the Hudson. They're closing the field today. The middle school football field.
All right. Well, you got to get over there.
Yeah. Well, I can't leave. Yeah. I just want to know if you have anything else. What did you think about the Ellens? Matter of fact, that's my first time there.
About what?
The Ellens. You know, the event
had. Yeah. Well, you know, that room was hard to hear. I had a hard time hearing. I thought, you know, honoring Ed Cross was a great opportunity to, give him a big applause for all of his hard work.
Yeah. It was kind of nice. Like, that was my first time at an event like that. I didn't know what to do. So I kind of stayed in the back and just watched everybody do whatever they were doing. And
well, you got to eat. Yeah. You got to have a little drink, a little chatter.
Food.
You know, that finger food is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about, hanging out with the swells and toasting their good fortune and being a part of the scene and backslapping. And
maybe
I did see Peter Volkman. I must say the sheriff's race is a pretty good one.
You better pay attention
to that.
I talked to him, and I'm going to have him on this show.
Yeah, he's a pretty interesting guy.
I had a nice conversation with him, actually. And you know what? You just gave out a spoiler. No, it's all right, because
yeah.
I was excited to talk to him. But he will be on our show in the next couple weeks. I want to ask you something, and this is kind of – I'm going to make it comical, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you off the record, even though we're on the radio. But
all
I
right.
always was told, if you want a question, ask off the record.
Off the record.
Explain to me, because I'm new to the politic thing, explain to me how the current candidate for mayor is endorsed by every single party. And like, I'm just thinking that how could that happen? You know, you have all these wives' tales about, oh, well, someone has to promise someone this and someone has to promise someone that, you know, like, because I could see certain positions, you know, not having anybody to run against. But the mayor, like, I'm kind of.
No, I'm surprised. I mean, it's too bad that there is no competition.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a better opportunity for Rick Rector to make his case with an opponent.
But how does
each
party line like, because he's endorsed by, and this is just me, you know, and, like, in the other elections, party lines like the conservatives and stuff like that and the working family, those are the lines that kind of put people over the top. So the conservatives are endorsed by him, the Republicans, the Democrats, you know, like, how? If that's the case, then why do we even have these different parties? Why don't we all just be one party?
I think it's talking. A good point. You know, the big line is the Democratic line. There's more Democrats in Hudson than any other party. So that's the most important line. Everybody wants to seek the other lines. So they fight over those lines. I am not sure how this happened. I guess there was no opponent. So Rick Rector and Tom DiPietro, for example, went to all the parties and asked for their endorsement, and I guess they got it. The only competition was with Tom and Steve. So there was that. I think it's unfortunate that there was no opponent.
This is the only thing I'm trying to understand, because, like I said, I'm new. Okay, I can understand those guys going, but wouldn't each party have their own candidate? Like, hey, Linda, you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to get you ready for mayor. We're going to do whatever we need to do to get you ready for mayor. So no other party, or is he just that good? You know what I mean? So
everybody says,
hey, we're going to bow down because if he's running, there's no way we can beat him.
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't in the room with any of these decisions. Yeah. I'm simply an innocent bystander and had thought about my own particular passion, and that was it. I didn't really ask what else was going on in the big picture. But I do think it is too bad that there's no real race, because it would help Rick Rector in general. To be given this job without a race adds another level of madness to the whole picture.
I know he has some town halls coming up in October. I know he's going to go to every ward, and I'll definitely be at the town ward when he comes to my ward. And he has been wanting to talk to me, not the radio me, you know, just the walking down. I hope not the radio me, but just the walking down the street me. So I think I'm going to meet with him. But it's just a question that I hear from a lot of people. How does this happen? And I wanted to ask Billy that, too. I forgot. But I just wanted to know, like, how could something like this happen?
Well, I mean, you can talk about, deals were made or conversations. I don't know what happened in the room of endorsement. People talked to each party, and that's the end of it. And no party, I guess, felt that they had a competition for Mr. Rector to go against, and that was the end of it. But these contests in the past have been very fierce.
Yeah.
And I've been involved with some of them, so it's unusual for the city of Hudson to not have a race for the mayor. It's a complicated situation right now, because Hudson is very there's a lot of new energy in Hudson.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who are fighting over perhaps who's going to get a piece of that pie.
Yeah.
And, the pie is getting richer.
Yeah.
And when the pie gets richer, we have to get up earlier.
Yeah.
And get our pie cutters out there and defend our piece.
I agree with you 100%. So any last goodbyes? We 540, 556, and I'm going to put music on. Go on.
Put that music on. Thanks, Vern. Thanks, no. WGXC. This is a great opportunity to speak about the things that are on my mind and in my heart.
Thank you very much for coming, Linda.
All right.
Special shout-outs to the home team. Shout-out to Nita. Shout-out to Javen. Shout-out to Avi. Shout-out to Zozo and everybody listening in. Thank you to Linda Musman for coming in. Thank you for Bill Hughes also for coming in. Again, I extend our hands out to you guys. If you guys want to come back before the race, after the race, we are here. Drive Time Radio Show, WGXC 90.7 FM. Y'all have a great week. Next week starts our pledge drive. And next week, the Drive Time Radio Show will be doing a remote from the Youth Center. Yep, from 4 to 6, we will be down at the Youth Center with Nick and Tyrone and Mike and Dontel. Shout out to everybody down there. We are going to do a show down there and just bring our community together. So you guys have a great day, and I will see you at the middle school. Shout out to Tim Martin. I'll be there soon, bro. Later.